Broadcast permission for the following program is made possible by the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Of all the mathematical plane figures that exist, rhomboid, square, parallelogram, et al., the one that causes the most trouble in the human comedy is the triangle. This is the story of a very special triangle called the isosceles, the one that has two equal sides, the third unequal. Because this is a story of that phenomenon, we should consider some other actuarial figures. The chance of twin birth is about 1.25%. But the varieties of twins, the least likely and the most potentially disturbing, are monozygotic, or so-called identical twins, like Joyce and Janice Adams.
This is what you go for, Joyce, right? Your kind of music.
Sure. My thing.
Yeah. You take it over Tchaikovsky.
Does it matter all that much?
Nothing with us can ever matter that much. Or anything. So here. Here, take it all, baby.
What are you doing? You'll never get rid of me.
Our mystery drama, The Tortured Twins, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Marion Seldes and Paul Hecht. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hello, I'm Patty Dugastin. I'd like to talk to you husbands about a very important problem. It's how to get every woman to examine her breasts monthly to give her the best insurance against breast cancer. So I want you to become a NAG. NAG your wife to learn breast self-examination. At her next checkup, she can ask her doctor to teach her how, or she can get a free instruction booklet from your American Cancer Society. Self-examination will detect a lump or thickening early when chances of cure are best. The truth is, most lumps are not cancer, but only a doctor can tell for sure. By seeing him without delay, she'll have the reassurance that everything's fine. If not, remember, most early breast cancer can be cured. So, husband, start nagging today. You have the chance to help protect your wife's life. Oh, and one other thing. How about your yearly health checkup?
We are of nature and necessity hemmed in by our beliefs, our prejudices, our backgrounds, and the world we have specifically made for our own. But no one is more circumscribed in the life he lives than the actor, the performer, the one in the public eye. Like all Homo sapiens within the jungle of life, this particular breed has its own gathering and watering places, and is subject to a rigid pecking order, as, for example...
Come on, Adam, baby, answer. You just gotta be home. You can't have left for the theater, not without... Oh, come on.
Adam Duncan speaking.
This is your wife, Joyce. Joyce and rejoice. I made it. They bought me. I got it. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
For all Humpty Dumpty's men?
Yeah. For the film. Oh, wouldn't it break you up?
Hey, hold it a minute, honey. What about the play? You have a contract. Run of the play.
Oh, Lou Morris will get me out of that somehow. Oh, I mean, Sugar, this is a big one.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Only how soon?
That isn't firmed up yet.
Firmed up yet. There's a great little showbiz phrase.
Oh, why do you have to be so difficult?
Who's being difficult? You have a contract. Run of the play. How are we going to wiggle you out of your play contract?
Oh, Lou says that's no problem.
Yeah, I hope he's right.
This is my big chance. The movie. And it's a terrific part.
Who knows from movies? Okay, suppose it is. How do I get out of the show?
Oh, gee, Adam, what's the big problem? I go to Hollywood for whatever time it takes. You stay here till it closes. Oh, honey, let's not argue. We'll talk about it after the show tonight.
Well, what about dinner?
I'll just bring in a sandwich or something. Because now I'm going out to cocktails and like that with a producer and my agent.
Hey, you shouldn't be drinking before the show.
Oh, come on, Adam. I'm a big movie star now. And besides, you think I'm going to miss being at the Algonquin?
The moment I met Joyce Adams, I was lost. She had honey blonde hair, green-blue cat's eyes, and a body. Wow. I mean, it isn't like talent is anything new to me. It's part of the theater, and theater's all of my life. I guess in the last 15 years, since I was like about 18, there hasn't been a legitimate production on Broadway, off or half-off, I haven't seen or maybe been part of. And a body is a body, I always figured, until that evening in this little theater made out of an old shoe factory where they were doing Ibsen's Doll's House with Joyce playing Nora, the child one. She was terrible, but like I said, the moment I saw her, I was gone. So, after the show, I talked her into going down to Phoebe's with me. Oh, that's the off-off Broadway Sardi's, so we could talk. You sure you don't want a real drink?
No. I just love cherry cream soda.
Oh.
I know it isn't good for my figure, but I just love it.
Yeah. Well, so far it doesn't seem to have done any damage. you want another?
Well, gee, could I? I mean, I don't even really know you.
Yeah, you'd really better watch out for me.
Well, you wouldn't tempt me all that much with cherry cream sodas, but... What was this about a part in a real Broadway play?
Oh, it's a shot in the dark, Joyce. All right to call you that?
It's my name. What'd you say was yours?
Adam. Adam Duncan. You see, right now I'm a nobody. I'm an assistant stage manager and understudy on a production William Lloyd is putting on, The Duke and the Doll. They're looking for an unknown for the part of the doll.
Gee, isn't that the one where Judson Holmes is going to play the Duke?
That's right. And you would be just perfect for the part of the doll. Looking into those lovely sea-green, wide-open eyes, some alarm bell should have sounded somewhere inside me, telling me that this girl only existed from her eyes down. The attic was empty. But I was too zonked out to believe that, and events moved so fast I didn't have time to think about it. Because she got the part, and she was a smash, even if the show didn't get much in reviews. And anyway, who cared? Because the Sunday of the week we opened, Joyce and I were married and had a 24-hour honeymoon at Atlantic City.
Gosh, it's not as romantic as I always thought it would be. I just never thought it would be so cold at the beach.
Well, honey, it is the last day of October.
Yeah, but still, it's Atlantic City.
Oh, my adorable wife, you are something else. Too much.
Now I feel all warm and scroogey. Let's go back to the hotel.
You know, it's the funniest thing. That's just what I had in mind, too. Joyce was like laughing gas. A whiff of her and you were in orbit. The 24 hours passed on cloud 8. And then we were back in New York and under the influence of another kind of excitement. Phones ringing, agents, offers, all the wild madness of overnight success. Oh, not the play. Joyce. And then suddenly, the plum of the year drops right in her lap. the chance to play the sex symbol in the year's hottest film property.
Honey, they're waiting for us at Sardi's. Let's go.
Hey, they can wait. They can wait. We've got to look a few things straight in the face.
My agent has the director meeting me, too, as well as Mr. Jenner, the producer.
Now, just stop a moment to talk to Mr. Adam Duncan, your stage manager and sometime husband.
What do you mean, sometime?
It's just a manner of speaking. Honey, you can't go signing for a movie while you're still under a theater contract.
Oh, they don't need me. Mr. Holmes is a star. They can get anybody for me.
Sure. That's why your phone is ringing and you're getting all the offers while this cockamamie play has no advance and the only thing that keeps the box office alive is word of mouth about you.
Well, I don't like doing the same thing over and over again. And this is new. This is a movie. What I always wanted to do.
Joyce, you just don't know. It's a jungle out there. They eat up little girls like you and spit them down the drain. The theater's something else.
You mean you don't want me to be a star?
I don't want you to get the fever. Nothing comes easy in this business.
Well, I don't know. I've been pretty lucky so far. Anyway, it's what I want to do.
I mean, what kind of money are they talking about?
Oh, that's up to Lou, isn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, what are you going to live on out there? Can we swing it on our budget?
Oh, I'll live with Janice, of course. My sister. Remember?
It isn't exactly the best time to move in with her. I mean, she just lost her husband.
Oh, he was a big mistake.
Mistake or not, I thought your sister Janice was trying to sell the house.
Well, she hasn't yet. And by the time she gets a buyer, we're going to be rich, and I'm going to be famous. So now can I go to Sardi's? I've never been able to go there ever before and feel really important.
So we went to Sardi's, and I was a fifth wheel. But Joyce was in seventh heaven. And everything went off like the storybooks, and a star was on the way to being born. She was signed, let out of a contract with the Duke and the Doll, and off she went to the Golden Capital. Within 6 weeks, the show she left died, and I caught the first plane for the coast. The moment I hit L.A., I headed straight for Chelsea Drive, right off Coldwater Canyon, near the Beverly Canyon Hotel. That was where Mrs. Westrew, Joyce's widowed sister, lived. I rang the bell. The door opened, and there was the woman I loved that I'd been aching for the last month and a half. And I gobbled her up in my arms. Oh, baby, oh, darling, my beloved.
Wait.
You ask a man who has lived on less than bread and water to
listen,
wait.
Listen, you crazy man.
I will listen to nothing but total surrender.
That's marvelous, Adam, except you've got the wrong girl.
Oh, don't try to foist me off, babes. Or tell me you're gone Hollywood. You're my girl, and you better know
but
it.
But I'm not.
And why not?
I'm not, Joyce.
What?
I'm Janice. I'm her sister.
You what? Come on, Joyce, what's the rib? What are you giving me? Hey, you're being for real? You were Joyce's sister, but I mean,
didn't she tell you we were twins?
Yeah, sure. I guess she said twins. I just thought sister. But, whew, this is just not possible.
What?
Well, I mean, people look like each other, but for sure, it's been a few weeks since I saw Joyce. You'd think I'd know my own wife. Hey, you're putting me on?
Honestly, I'm not.
Well, I should have known. Actually, you don't sound anything like each other.
Oh, I'm the second fiddle.
No, I didn't mean that. You have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
And obviously, you're the loveliest looking woman I've ever known since I can't tell you from my wife.
Well, I'm sure you'll find enough differences between us so you won't be confused.
Such a simple statement. And yet, how prophetic it was to prove to be. Meeting Joyce later that day when she came back from the studio, it was weird. I mean, I was acutely aware of the differences, and not just only in the sound of the voice.
It's a drag, but it's exciting, too. Only I just get so strung out. I mean, I am pooped. I just want to lie down and sleep.
Yeah, well, I'm glad my arrival's giving you such a lift.
Honey, you know I'm glad to see you. It's just I'm so tired.
Okay, so you're tired.
Now you're mad at me.
I'm not mad. You just don't seem exactly spaced out that I'm back with you again.
Oh, don't you worry about that, babykin. Your little Joyce loves you all too. Oh, let me just pop a pep pill. Then I'll have a bath. And then I'll show you just how much. You're my number one man. You're my fella. You're my big daddy. And don't you ever think for one minute I'd ever let you go.
Who wants to go? I just arrived.
I'm never going to let you go again. I'm never going to be without you. I'm just going to hang around you like a little old anchor around your neck. I love you, Adam. I need you. And the only way you'll ever be rid of your baby doll is for me to die. You ever wanted to walk out on me, you'd have to kill me first.
I smothered that kind of crazy talk with a kiss. Only the terrible thing was that as I held Joyce, felt her move against me in all the old exciting ways, behind my closed eyes, the face and the body was the same. But my ears were remembering that low, musical voice of Janice's. Her even, steady, amused, and gentle sureness. And the impression I'd gotten of a strong and subtle intelligence. Joyce's twin. Identical in appearance, but so different in character. And even as I kissed my wife hungrily, I couldn't banish the earlier embrace I had held her sister in. And insistently, terribly, a phrase was ringing in my head in Joyce's tinkly, phony, jangling, baby doll voice. If you ever wanted to walk out on me, you'd have to kill me first.
What would it be like, do you suppose, to fall in love with a woman and then find that she wasn't the only one of her kind? And if you liked the second image better, could you change partners? Or would the desire to do that lead you to incredible lengths that you could never dream of? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Can you remember the time?
This is Buffy St. Marie. It's time to become aware of how we can all live together on this very small planet. The cities are growing too fast all over the world, even in the developing nations now. There's a critical lack of education almost everywhere. Resources are scarce and inadequately distributed. And unfortunately, it's the children who suffer the most.
Oh, it's written in books and in song.
And yet here we are counting on the children to build a future. They're everyone's most important resource. UNICEF wants all children to grow up healthy and are doing something about it. To have an adequate education. To have a fair chance of living a good life. Now, won't you help UNICEF?
Listen to me if you care where we stand. And you feel you're a part of these ones.
It occurs to me that I didn't mean to be chauvinistic. Why dwell only on the one male, unequal side of our isosceles triangle? There are the other equal sides, or at least by normal measurement, that now demand some study and exploration. The females, Joyce and Janice, identical twins physically, but how diverse as individuals. How stressful or how violent will their contrasting personalities threaten the slender figure of the triangle? Three simple straight lines which presently join, but under opposing forces, could be blown out of existence. For example.
Hello?
Janice, it's Adam.
You're beginning to recognize me.
Well, I can always tell you now.
By my voice?
By so many other things.
Adam, if you want to talk to Joyce, I'm afraid you're out of luck.
Well, isn't she home from the studio yet? Van Williams always stops shooting on the dot of five.
And our baby doll always comes straight home. And on the stroke of 5:30 is...
Oh, not wallowing in the bubble bath again.
Every night. It's a ritual.
With the radio blaring away, I'll bet. You know, that worries me.
Oh, my husband said it's built in. There's no danger. Even with wet hands.
Even acid rock.
Well, it's not my favorite brand of music, but...
Well, then why don't you object?
Because she's my favorite sister. Why'd you call, Adam?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of tickets for the ballet. It's Romeo and Juliet with Champlain and Astoriaf. I was going to ask her if she'd like to meet me downtown. Oh, no, look, tell her I have the tickets, and I'll drive home and pick her up, okay?
Okay. Lucky bums.
I'm sorry I couldn't get three, Jen. But...
Oh, I was just pulling your leg. I've got packing and general house cleaning to do anyway.
Packing?
None of your business. Now, you get back here and take your wife out so you can fall in love with her all over again. And don't mind me if I sound jealous. It's only because I am. Ciao, Bello.
I hung up with one word ringing in my ear, churning in my stomach, shaking me up, but good. Jealous. I told myself it was accidental, just kidding around, but I knew better. No matter how deep I tried to bury the truth, 2 weeks living in the same house with both Joyce and Janice had taught me that. 2 weeks. I knew it within 2 minutes after I had met Janice. Remember the old ads? Which twin has the Tony? Well, I knew which twin should have the Adam. But I couldn't admit that to myself. I brushed it out of my mind and went home. Joyce!
Who's there?
Joyce, you still in there? Joyce, it's Adam. Turn that damn radio down.
What did you say?
I said, turn the damn... I just wanted you to turn the radio off so you could hear me.
I can hear you.
You still in the bathtub?
No, honey, I'm just coming out.
Hello, precious. You're late getting home.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone to scrub my back.
I was finding myself a job.
Job?
Yeah, not much, but a good start with a classic rep.
What's that?
Oh, it's like Off-Broadway, New York. Maybe more like Off-Off.
No money.
Yeah, that's where we started. But it's my kind of theater.
Oh, lover, we're in the big time now.
You are, not me.
Well, I don't see why you have to waste your time with culture and all that jazz. I mean, what's in it for you?
Oh, satisfaction, excitement, balm for my immortal soul. And something very special for tonight. The producer can't use them, and he gave them to me.
Gave you what?
Two tickets for Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, Shakespeare? Come on, baby, I'm tired. Anyway, you made me sit through that play once. I thought it would never end.
No, this isn't the play. It's the ballet with the Tchaikovsky music.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. Ballet? That really bores me out of my gourd.
It's with Champlain and Astoria.
Who?
Joyce, they're the top dancers in the world.
Okay, honey. If it's all that important to you, why don't you take Jan? I'll just watch some TV. Terry Sayles has a special on tonight. I just don't want to miss it.
That schlock comic?
He fractures me. I mean, he really lays me out. Oh, I know you don't go for him. So take Jan to the ballet. Look, if it was any other woman, I wouldn't let you out of the door. But I know you're safe with Jan.
But that was the whole trouble. I wasn't safe with Jan at all. Nor was she very safe with me. I guess that's the only reason she was with me that night. Because on the way home, after turning off Sunset onto Coldwater, just as we came to Chelsea Drive, she said...
Don't turn, Adam. Just keep going.
Where?
To the next right. Into the Ellsworths' driveway.
Okay.
And... cut your lights.
Why here?
They're away.
Okay.
Cut the motor. We've got to talk about things, get some things straight. Particularly after tonight.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes.
Maybe that's the greatest thing about ballet. No words needed. Like us.
Oh, don't. It's what we have to talk about.
We don't need any words to tell each other that.
Oh, no. Adam, darling.
I've been wanting to do this again on purpose ever since it happened by accident.
No more than I. No. No. It's the last thing I meant to happen.
Yeah, or I expected to.
It isn't why I brought you here.
Then why?
I'm going away. Oh, please don't touch me, please.
Going away? Where?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Around the world.
But when?
Well, the sooner the better, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's no answer.
Well, neither is this. Or how we feel about each other. So what is?
All right. All right, look, we sit down. We face facts like three rational people.
Well, that's just the trouble. We can't.
Why not?
Because Joyce and I are not only sisters, we're twins. Identical twins. And hurting her would be just as... more difficult than trying to hurt myself.
All right. Now hold it.
She needs you, Adam.
For what? To teach her how to act so she doesn't go to the studio and fall flat on her pretty face. That's all she needs me for.
No, it isn't. But even if it were, it would be enough. It's what she's wanted all her life. It would kill her if she lost it just when it was in her hands.
What?
Being a star. Listen. She was the second of us to arrive. She's always been number two, or felt that way. And now she's number one, a career, a husband, and probably a lot of money. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
Why not?
Because so long as she lives, I've promised myself I'd never willingly do anything to hurt her. Nor would I want to. We're two people by accident, you see. Actually, we're only one.
I tried, but I knew it was hopeless. No amount of argument would change Janice's mind. So we drove home. She went up to her bed. And after a stiff drink, I went up to mine. And Joyce. Fortunately, as I opened the door, I could hear that Joyce was asleep. I crossed to her bed and looked down on her. A shaft of moonlight lit her face. And I looked in wonder and amazement at the woman I married, who could just as easily have been the woman I now loved. And suddenly, horribly, the memory of some accidental words of Jan sprang up in my mind as if written there in fire.
As long as she lives, I've promised myself I'd never do anything willingly to hurt her.
I undressed quickly and got into bed. But it was a long time before I could get to sleep. Usually I have to wake and turn off the alarm in the morning. But this morning, Joyce actually got to it first. While she was in the bathroom getting ready for the studio car to pick her up, I lay in a half daze.
Where did the time go? I'm late.
Oh, I thought you had the day off.
Oh, I did, and then there was something the matter with one of the reels of film yesterday. We got a reshoot.
You want me to get you some breakfast?
No, I haven't time to get it on the set. Oh, how was last night?
I was heaven. You should have been there.
Not me. That ballet scene leaves me cold. So how did you and Jan get along?
Oh, you know how I get along with your sister. I love her.
My twin sister.
Don't have to be told that. It's tough enough to tell you apart.
Yeah. It's kind of like why I brought the subject up. See, we're strange. Awful strange, Adam. People like me and Jan. There's special vibes, and no ordinary person could know just how special.
That's bad?
No. Most of the times it's good. I wouldn't want them ever to be bad. But you see, sometimes I get screwy ideas. I know I'm not all that bright. I try to forget I have them, but I had this dream last night, and I want to tell you something.
The dream?
No, just about it. I mean, well, I know it was way out, but it made me think. What if you should like Jan better than me?
Joyce, I'm your husband.
Well, I put it another way. If anything happened to me, would you turn to Jan?
How can I answer a question like that?
You don't have to. I will. I'm going to tell you... Oh, the studio car. Just let me put it this way. If I ever lost you anyway to anyone, you know something?
What?
You'd never get anything from it. Because you can't ever get rid of me. Alive or dead, I'm going to haunt you the rest of my life. How's that for the crazies? Ooh, I love you, Adam Duncan. Keep the home fires burning.
The things that people think. It was all clear as glass. Joyce, the clinging vine who would never leave me. Jan, the woman I loved, who would never have anything to do with me as long as Joyce was alive. A simple enough equation. The only escape was for Joyce to die. But how? Would I have the nerve? And how could I get away with it?
Who are any of us to criticize? Haven't we all, in anger, despair, or frustration, uttered threats, sometimes out loud, or perhaps only in the mind, that were mad enough to kill someone, or you drive me so crazy I could murder you? But of course, none of us ever did anything about it. Will Adam Duncan? I'll return shortly with Act Three.
The most important people since people first began are children, 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 for the child is father of the man. The baby is our future from Iceland to Japan. So care about the children, for the child is father of the man. The future of the world depends on what the children do. And you must help the help you help the children to help you. So do your most and give your most and do the best you can to help the children, 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 for the child is father of the man.
Richard Rodgers gave this song to UNICEF. The Tucson Boys Choir gave their talents. To learn what you can give, call your local UNICEF committee or write UNICEF, United Nations, New York.
The child is father of the man.
Adam Duncan is now convinced that he can never have Janice unless Joyce is dead. And equally convinced that the same is true unless death seems incontrovertibly accidental. It's been an agonizing week for him as the day of Janice's departure draws closer and closer. And he has still not solved the how of Joyce's death. Now, at the last moment, he feels he has. And I'm only going to be omniscient enough to tell you that as far as the police are concerned, he could get away with it.
Who is it?
Adam, Jan. Hey, what's all this?
Oh, I didn't expect you home in the middle of the day. Just stuff I'm getting ready to move out.
Oh? When?
End of the week.
Does Joyce know about this?
Of course.
Oh, you might have told me. I guess we'll have to find somewhere else to live.
Oh, no, the house is yours.
I can't afford it.
Joyce can. Who cares? I can. There wasn't much in my marriage with Jim, but he did leave me more money than I'll ever need, so the house is yours.
It isn't a house I care about, it's who is in it.
Well, we've solved that question. You and Joyce.
And if there shouldn't be a Joyce?
Things are as they are. What can we do, Adam? But leave it at that.
That really should have settled it. But I wasn't willing to let it go at that. Suddenly I knew how to get away with it. It was just a matter of timing. In all the hours I sat and thought about it, the best thing I had going was habit. A meticulous director who bent over backwards never to work into overtime. A wife who felt it necessary to soak herself in a bubble bath every night and to drown herself in cheap rock music. The factor of time. And a cocktail party where I was going to be highly visible at the Ford Hotel on Wilshire Boulevard. That involved Janice as well. When it came, as Shakespeare says, to the sticking point, it was really all so simple. One tube was all I had to take out of that sybaritic bathroom radio set.
Who is that?
Adam!
Come on in, baby.
No radio?
Oh, it conked out. Something wasn't working. How come you're here so early?
I sneaked out. Must have been clairvoyant. Look what I have for you.
A portable radio. Now, how did you know I needed a lift?
Oh, let's just call it ESP. Plug this in first. That your speed?
Yeah. That's Hindenburg and the satellites. Man, that is love. You could turn it down.
Forget it. What's worth doing is worth doing well. You go for this, don't you?
My kind of music.
You take it over Tchaikovsky?
Yes. Does it matter all that much?
No, Joyce.
Nothing with us could ever matter that much. Or anything. Here. Take it all, baby.
No! What are you doing? That's dangerous.
We've been living dangerously, baby, and you give me no way out.
You'll never get rid of me.
I don't know what I really expected. Probably the last thing that it would be all so easy.
The easy walk through the shrubbery to the Ellsworth driveway, picking my car up unseen and driving to meet Janice as if nothing had happened, right on the dot of six, as was planned. With plenty of people to see us at that specific hour. While back in the bathroom, portable clock radio lay in the bathtub as dead as the woman that shared it, its hands recording the time of her death as 16 minutes after six, the moment the short circuit had stopped the radio and Joyce.
Where do you suppose Joyce is?
Search me. I came straight over from my agent's office.
Did you call before you left?
Sure. I thought maybe I could pick her up. She said she'd just gotten home and would come over by herself, so I headed straight here.
Maybe we ought to give her a ring. She might have fallen asleep.
Yeah, let's see. 6:45. Maybe we ought to.
We went through the mockery of a call to a woman long dead, but who was to appear as having just died in the subsequent police investigation. The timing was perfect. The alibi unassailable. The verdict? Death through misadventure. And I was free. As was Janice. The only problem in the way of our future together was to bide our time. I should say my time, since Janice was no part of what I'd done. I had bought our future. I simply had to wait a little while for delivery, I thought.
Yes? Oh, I really don't think it's a very good time to speak to her husband. Oh, yes, Mr. Duncan is here, but we've just returned from the funeral, and I... Well, hold on. Just a moment, please.
Yes, Mr. Bonner. Yeah, I understand. Sure, I see your problem. Well, not right at the moment, but... Well, by Monday, after the weekend, I might be able to make more sense. As I beg your pardon? Oh, sure. That's very kind of you. Yes, it has been a sad loss. Thank you.
That was Joyce's producer, wasn't it?
Yes. Ghoul.
What do you mean?
Well, just what I said. Another in the general school of Barracuda. Well, he's got a major film over 3/4 completed. Without Joyce, he's got about $3-4 million of film he might as well dump in the sea or burn up. Unless...
Unless what?
Well, do I have to tell you?
Not me, Adam. I'm not an actress. I've got nothing to offer them.
You were the only person in the world nobody could tell apart from Joyce.
But you yourself. I mean, you know I don't sound anything like her.
Oh, thank God. Well, that's a trick you could learn. I could teach you.
No, what for? I don't care about your Mr. Bonner or his old picture. Let him worry about it.
Sure, of course. But, well, it is a lousy break for him. I mean, what happened to Joyce and... could mean a lot to our future.
Our future?
Well, I hope after this is all over, we are going to have one.
Oh, Adam, I'm scared.
Why?
How could I make anyone else understand who hasn't been, who hasn't been the other half of someone else?
The other is dead.
Don't make it sound so cruel.
Well, I didn't mean to. It's just the way things are. Except for Bonner.
Bonner?
The film. Now, look, would you be willing to complete it if I helped you?
All right, Adam. If it's what you want and it's right for us, I'll do it.
Oh, I was the mastermind. I held all the strings in my hand. I knew just what I was doing, and I was invincible. For what I offered a lost director and a frantic producer with a $3-4 million bomb on his hands, I was set for life. If I could only teach Janice to sound as much like Joyce as she looked.
You wanted me dead. How can you dare to resurrect me? Resurrect me.
It was a dream. Joyce's voice in my ears. Sure, I had been recalling it, but in memory, not in actuality. Was I awake or asleep? Joyce, Joyce, is that you?
Who else?
You're dead.
For everyone else, except you.
Suddenly, I was awake, bathed in sweat. Joyce was dead. I had gotten rid of her. How could she be alive?
But golly, I don't want to get shot at or anything.
I'll look out for you, baby.
And all the other things you promised me?
It goes with the job, too.
A penthouse apartment? Mink? No, Sable? And one of them long cars with a chauffeur?
Anything you want, sweetheart, so long as you pay the price.
What's the price?
You never know that till someone hands you the bill. Hey, Jan, this is great.
That I can sound like my kid sister?
Oh, like in the flesh.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't put it that way. She is dead, you know.
Yes, I guess I ought to.
But sometimes I wonder if you do. Look, if it means so much... Yes, I'll fill in and finish the movie, but after that, I only want to be myself.
Most people don't know the tedium, the endless amount of takes, the close-ups, the medium shots, and of course the master shots that cover everything. It would be hard to explain to the average person that a simple phrase like, I love you, might have to be repeated again and again, maybe 20, 30, 40 times. And not necessarily the way you might want to say it yourself, but patterned and inflected, just as the director, the producer, the power behind the camera might dictate. And so, for 6 or 7 endless weeks, Janice submitted herself to the forces which had shaped her twin sister. And finally, the picture was over, and she came home.
We're finished, Adam.
Hey, today was the wrap?
Yep.
Oh, that's great, Jan. What a relief.
You're really all that happy, sweetie pie?
Of course. Now you don't have to sound like Joyce anymore. You can be yourself.
I can be what?
Yourself, Janice. The woman I love.
But I am the woman you love.
Come on, Janice. Knock it off. You don't have to sound like that silly kid sister of yours.
You mean the woman you married?
I mean the woman I married the second time.
What?
Come on, honey. What are you doing to me? I married Joyce, which was a mistake. Then I married you, which was the best thing I ever did in my life.
Are you so sure? I mean, baby, baby, sweetheart. You love me all that much?
Okay, okay, Janice, cut it out.
Janice?
Are you all right?
Well, that's the question you should be asking yourself, lover. Which of us did you really marry? And which of us did you kill?
What?
Oh, you know how it is with twins. There's an ESP that no one else could understand. Whatever happens to one strikes a mirror chord in the other.
You know?
Huh? Know what, darling? Huh? Why do you look so terrified?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't even know who you are.
Your wife, darling. I can answer that.
Yeah, I know. But which... Which one? Which?
But won't it be interesting for you to try to figure out?
No.
I mean, since I have the money, where can you run?
No.
Whatever you paid into this marriage, I promise you, you'll get exactly what you bought. So think of me as I am, big lover, or as you made me, because I'm yours till death do us part.
Quite recently, there was a disturbance on the Golden Gate Bridge. A man had climbed into the superstructure with the object of committing suicide. Despite heroic efforts by the police, the man, an unemployed member of several theatrical unions, plunged to his death. He was identified by his wife, a resident of Los Angeles, as Adam Duncan. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Woodsy Owl, and I want to thank you for doing a great job in trying to stop pollution. But we need more help. We can't do it all.
So, help Woodsy spread the word. Never never be a dirty bird. No matter where you go,
come on,
you can let some people know. Give a hoot, don't pollute. Never be a dirty bird. In the snow or on the sand, help keep America looking grand. Oh, help Woodsy spread the word. Never be a dirty bird. No matter where you go, you can let some people know. Give a hoot, don't pollute. Never be a dirty bird. In the city or in the woods, help keep America looking good.
A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Forest Service and this station.
Not all stories are pleasant, as indeed not all people are. The happiest thing to dwell on is how few... Oh, now I must search for a careful word. What shall it be? Well, let's settle for an old-fashioned word. Rotters, no-gooders. Anyway, human beings with nothing much to recommend them get away with murder. Or do they? Certainly not in my stories. They always have to pay when it comes to the end. Our cast, Marion Seldes and Paul Hecht. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... Pleasant dreams.
The preceding program was broadcast with the permission of the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to 89.7 FM, WUWM, Milwaukee.
This is Jazz Spectrum, 2 hours of jazz of all kinds. And this is Lee Matthews, bringing you tonight's program with the good wishes of Unlimited Jazz Limited, a nonprofit Wisconsin organization made up of people like you and I, people who love jazz. Tonight, we'll feature assistant masters of jazz as Thad Jones, Mel Lewis, Stan Kitten and Gene Turner, Bobby Hackett, Ellen Basie, Stan Kitten, Miles Davis, Woody Herman, and many others. During the program, we'll be telling you more about the activities of Unlimited Jazz Limited and the coming events of jazz interest in the Milwaukee area. But right now, let's go with Thad Jones and Mel Lewis and Once Around. Thad Jones and Mel Lewis and Once Around. And after I blew the intro on that thing, I think we're ready to probably go into something like called Oh You Crazy Moon with Stan Kenton and Gene Turner, since we have a full moon tonight. Oh You Crazy Moon.
Just in fun. ashamed to show your funny, funny face again. There they are, they fell in love. I guess you think you're smart.
That was Oh You Crazy Moon by Gene Turner and Stan Kenton. We're going to back up a little bit after the Gene Turner and Stan Kenton recording of Oh You Crazy Moon. Full moon out tonight, so these crazy things are happening. Let's go back to the intro we started out with tonight was with Thad Jones and Mal Lewis. And that was a tune called Once Around, and the trumpet solo in that particular tune was done by Bill Berry. Burton's baritone solo was done by Pepper Adams, and the piano solo was by Hank Jones. So that was the first tune we did tonight. We're on a little bit early tonight, but we have enough music, enough jazz to go all the way around. The next thing we'd like to do is something kind of different. They took the West Coast jazz of 1955 and included with the East Coast jazz of 1955 and talked about Bobby Hackett and other people like Matty Matlock, Chet T. Carden, Abe Lincoln, Nappy Namar, Don Owens, Nick Fatu, and Phil Stevens, and recorded something back in 1955 called The Muscat Ramble. Here's Bobby Hackett and his band on the West Coast in 1955 called The Muscat Ramble. Thank you. That was Bobby Hackett in Muskrat Ramble, including Abe Lincoln. Now, you know, not all trombone players die young. Some of us stick around for a long time, and Abe did for a long time. Seriously, though, Abe has been with the West Coast jazz scene for many years, and maybe you could pick him out. His style is a little bit different than Jack Teagarden on that particular side, and we're going to have some later on that will probably detect his playing differently than Jack Teagarden's. One of the things is that his range seems to be a little bit higher than Jack's. But on that, included on that particular cut was Bobby Hackett on cornet, Matty Madlock on clarinet, naturally Jack Teagarden trombone, Abe Lincoln on trombone, Nappy Lamar on guitar, Don Ouse on piano, Nick Fatu on drums, and Phil Stevens on bass or tuba. And that particular cut was recorded in October of 1955. I'd like to do a vocal right now with Ella and Basie, Them, Their Eyes.
I fell in love with you first time I looked into them, their eyes. You've got a certain little cute way you're flirting with them, their eyes. They make me feel happy, they make me blue. No stalling, I'm falling, going in a big way for sweet little you. My heart is jumping, you sure started something with them, their eyes. You'd better watch them if you're wise. They sparkle, they bubble, they're gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. You're overworking them, there's danger lurking in them, their eyes. Ba-do-ba-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-